All right, kiddos, come on, join me. All right, how's everybody today? Good to see you. All right, I'm going to tell you a story. I want you to listen closely. Y'all come on around here so I can see you. Don't hide in the bushes. When I was about, how old are you, Stewie? 9. I was probably 8 or 9 years old. My cousin and his family lived on White Bluff Road, right across from the air base, Hunter. And our moms, who are sisters, they were inside drinking coffee, and he and I had climbed a tree right by their house. We were up in the tree, climbing through the limbs, having a good time, because we love to climb. Anybody else like to climb trees? Yeah, it's fun. They were clearing some land over across the street there. And you'll understand how that's important to the story in just a moment. And so I started climbing back down the tree, and my cousin, he said to me, "Stop. Don't go any further." And I was just about to step on the ground. He said, "Come back up." I said, "Why?" He said, just come back up." I said, "No, you tell me why. Why have I got to stop right now?" He said, "There's a rattlesnake right down there." And it was cold. And I thought, man, my cousin, he liked to exaggerate things. And I thought, well, it's probably a little worm. And he's gotten all excited about it. It's not a rattlesnake. And I looked down there in a nice little coil. And there was this rattlesnake. And he had started rattling.
I think they're about to fight.
Well, now, let me ask you this. Was it important that I listened to what my cousin said and that I was obedient to what he told me? Was it important?
Yes.
Because that was the truth. He was telling me the truth. What? And I was just about to step on a rattlesnake, and I was going to be bit. Well, guy came over from who was delivering a refrigerator next door, and he came over and killed the rattlesnake and cut his head off. And guy said, "Well, you better look out, because there are a lot of snakes moving as they're moving from that property that they've just cleared." Now, last week, y'all stood up here and you recited something. Do you remember what it was? Ten Commandments. Now, I want to read you what's written before those Ten Commandments that y'all recite. And what does the Lord want us to do with the Ten Commandments?
Obey them.
Because they're what? They're important. They're His Word. And they're true. It says here, "The Lord our God has made a covenant with you." And see, His covenant is that He will be our Lord and that we need to listen to Him and do what He says. We don't always understand it, just like me. I didn't understand it when my cousin first said, "Stop!" But when I got all the facts, I understood He was looking out for me and probably saved my life.
Is He
alive? Oh, yeah. And He's a preacher, too, up in Virginia. How about that? Let's pray together. Lord, we pray for all of us, little children and big children, that we'll take seriously the covenant that You have given to us, and that we'll listen to You and do what You say. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all can go to Kid Zone. Has that ever happened to any of you big people? Where someone warned you? I don't know that I'll deliver to you a more important word than I deliver to you today. And it's a timely word. And I hope you will hear what the Lord has to say to you. Before we get to this, hearing God's voice in the middle of your battle, I want to remind you of what Dane alluded to, that Friend Day on the 16th. We're going to get some kind of fried chicken for that day. I don't know if we're going to get fingers or the bone-in stuff, but we'll have that, and most anything will go with fried chicken. Shrimp fried rice goes with, and no one has really picked up the gauntlet to cook Kennedy's African dishes, too, so someone needs to pick up that gauntlet. That's right. Well, it's not chicken over there, it's yard bird. And that meat's real close to the bone and it's not much of it. It truly is free-range chicken. If a chicken grows up to adulthood over there and makes it till then, he's done real well. Or she has done real well. But in between now and the 16th of October, you have a lot of unchurched people in your life, don't you? In fact, I dare say most of the people in your life are unchurched. If you really took an inventory. Now I'm talking about some of the ones that say they're in church, but man, they haven't been at a worship service in a long time. But they need the Lord's love. Our church is a very well-kept secret in Savannah. Let's make sure we invite some people. And some of you already do a real good job of that, inviting your friends and your neighbors. Let them come kick the tires and see that, we hadn't had any snake handling here in at least 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah, the way you get the revival started up here is you throw the snakes down in the back, and it moves them. I thought we had revival. One of my first sermons that I preached at First Church where I was a senior pastor, I was preaching along one day and I saw down the left-hand side, it looked like people were just like dominoes. They were jumping, and I thought, man, we've gone charismatic here. And a little hope there. And it went all the way to the back, and what I realized was that Richard North had gotten loose from his daddy, and he was crawling under the pews all the way back. And that's a unique sensation when you're listening to the preacher and you feel something go through your legs all the way to the back. Hearing God's voice in the middle of the battle. We'll read a story to you. This is chose the New Living Translation. And the story's about Elisha. You know who Elisha was? Elisha took upon, the Lord gave him the mantle of the prophet Elijah. Followed him, you read the stories, just wonderful stories there of the power of God in his life. And you remember he asked for a double portion of God's Spirit. And he was prophet of the Lord, probably prophesied during the middle of the 9th century. And the story we're going to tell today. Well, you'll see the details of it. This is the king. This is this depicted in this picture. He is the Aramean king, which was the Syria. In fact, isn't it interesting? The story we're going to tell you today is about Syrians and Jews. Does that strike a familiar note? In that even right now, we're still talking about Syrians and Jews today. Here's a story from 2 Kings. Now, when the king of Aram, and if you look on the map, it's talking about Syria, where modern day Syria is today, was at war with Israel, that he would confer with his officers and say, "We'll mobilize our forces at such and such a place." But immediately, Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, "Do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there.
So the king of Israel sent word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he would be on alert there. We're not talking about that this happened once or twice. This is multiple times this happened. So the king of Aram was very upset over this. So he called his officers together and demanded. Now, think, what would you be demanding? Who's the mole? Who's the sellout? Who's on the payroll of the king of Israel? Which of you is a traitor, he says. Who's been informing the king of Israel of my plan? It's not us, my lord the king, one of the officers replied. Elisha, the prophet in Israel. It's interesting. How would he know that? Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. Go and find where he is, the king commanded, so that I can send troops to seize him. That's always the world's way of looking at it. Always. I'm going to take action. I'm going to do it myself. The report came back. Elisha is at Dothan. So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. Now stop there with the story. This is one sermon that I had to just divide it into two. And in 2 weeks, I'll be preaching the second part of this sermon. But I want you to pay close attention to the story. So, the Syrian king is having his plans against the Jews thwarted again and again because they get tipped off by God. Now, let's look at the story and apply it in our lives. First thing, were they in the middle of a battle at that time? You better believe. The Jews have always been surrounded by those who wanted to destroy them. That didn't just start up in 1948 or in World War II or back in the 1800s. That has been going on since the Lord said, "You'll be my people," to Abraham, that you'll be the father of a great nation. So battle has been going on. A battle is waging there right now, isn't it? What would the Syrians love to do? This is something that the Syrians proper, and ISIS have in common, and Iran, and all those others that surround. What would they like to happen to Israel and every Jew? Wipe them out. Look at what they've written. it is no contest. They want to get rid of them. So you would be a fool to step into the world and say, that battle's not going on. You would have been a fool in that day to step into that land and say, the battle is not going on. Wouldn't you? Let me say to you today, you'd be a fool today to say, a spiritual battle is not going on in your life. What the king of Aram, what the Syrian king didn't realize was that this whole story was spiritual. There's a spiritual battle going on in your life, isn't it? It's not just flesh and blood, is it? Those times when you think, how does that happen? Just when things start to come into place in my life, and then boom, this thing happens. It's almost like there was a plan to keep me away from God. Have you ever thought that? Well, let me tell you, there is. What does he say in Ephesians 6? We wrestle, Bethany quoted it this morning at our 9:30 service. And by the way, man, great time together in the Word today at 9:30, really dealing with some issues. There, I would invite you to be a part of that each Sunday as we thrash and get into the Word and get to grips with it. But she quoted this passage from Ephesians 6. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. There really is a spiritual battle going on in the world. There really is a spiritual battle going on in my life. There really is a spiritual battle going on for your children, for your grandchildren, for the people that you love. And you're in the middle of it. In the middle of that, is it important to hear God's voice? Number two. In the story, we see there is Elisha. Now, what is Elisha got to do with the spiritual heritage? Oh, a whole lot. Because the mantle of Elijah that went before him, the prophet of God, that went before him, was given to him. And what happened to Elijah? Does anybody know what happened to Elijah? You know, he didn't die. What happened to him? I can't hear you, Marilyn. Taken up. There you go. What a beautiful picture. And the Lord gives to Elisha that mantle. All that had gone before now was placed upon Elisha, the responsibility. All of that, the blessing that went before. I want to ask you today. Do you have a spiritual heritage? Are there people in your life that prayed for you? That invested in your life? That sacrificed for you so that you could hear about the Lord? Every time I think about this, I remember my great aunt, Ollie Floyd, at our little church where I grew up in Bible school, and we had 2-week Bible school, and then 10 days of Bible school. And I remember her teaching me the books of the Bible with this song. I'm not going to sing it right now. But I can remember sitting in a seminary classroom, fast forward years later, and here I'm supposed to be one of the young theologues, and I'm sitting and the professor drags out this passage from an obscure book in the Old Testament, and in my mind, what am I doing? I'm singing that song to remember. Where is it? So I can come to it and find it in my Bible and not look like an idiot in seminary classroom. I'm blessing my Aunt Ollie's soul. When I do. Think about all the people that have poured into you. Think about all the people that have prayed for you. You have a spiritual heritage? You better believe you have a spiritual heritage. Does this country have a spiritual heritage? Yes, we do. We have a rich spiritual heritage. And quite frankly, I become a little incensed, a little angry when I see people spitting on that spiritual heritage. This country was not founded on atheism. It was not founded on Islam. This country was founded on this book. Its system of jurisprudence, its system of law, its constitution, the Declaration of Independence, rooted and grounded in a Judeo-Christian ethic. That's the truth. Sometimes, if you get a chance, you need to listen to to what Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu of Israel. It's interesting when you hear from someone else, from their perspective, where he talks about his walk down the mall in Washington D.C. as he gives testimony of that, And as he relates the foundation of our country to the foundation that we share in the Word of God. That freedom, that is a gift from God. So yes, we have a spiritual head. We need to celebrate that. And there was Elisha on the job, and he was carrying on that spiritual heritage. And let me tell you, there was a king who wanted to destroy him. There were many who wanted to get rid of him because he walked in that heritage. Number three. In the story, we see in the story that great insight was given to Elisha. Here was a practical matter. The Israeli army was about to be fodder for a more powerful Syrian army in that day. But the Lord tips them off. The Lord gives them excellent intel behind the scenes, and he speaks through his prophet. Let me stop right there. Do you need to hear from the Lord in this way in your life right now? And don't look at me and say, oh, no, Pastor, I know everything that I need to do. All is right in my life right now. In every decision, I already know what it's going to be. Liar. What are the things you're well, how am I going to do this? What's going to happen when I do? What's the... If I just knew what the next step was. How many times have you said that? Huh? Just give me the next step. I don't need 10 steps. I need the next one. Just show me what to do right now. Lord, I'll do it. Be careful. Be careful. But here is Elisha being the mouthpiece of God. He was hearing God's voice in the middle of a battle. And man, there's not a time that's more important than in the middle of the battle to make sure that you hear a certain sound. Remember that Mel Gibson movie, The Patriot? Remember they having the last battle? Was it Cornwallis? Can't remember. And you know the recruits, the militia has the initial onslaught, they're turning and running, and what does Mel Gibson do? Remember? Well, what did he do, Jay? Starts waving the flag and going forward. And suddenly, all these guys who had an uncertain sound now see a very clear sound and a very clear leadership. And the battle turns. Man, isn't that what you need in your life right now? You need to hear from God. You need to ask Him, Lord, I need to hear a certain sound. Maybe it's a thing in your business, in your job, in your family. Maybe it's in your neighborhood. But you need a clear word from the Lord. You know, the closer... The more difficult things get in the earth for Christians and in this country, the more important this message is that we hear God's voice clearly in the middle of the battle. Right now, believers all over the world are faced with persecution, and because of that, they have to hear God clearly. What is He saying to me? Well, Elisha was getting spiritual insight. Now, some of you are sitting here and you don't think God will speak to you. You said, well, that's Elisha.
God's not going to speak to me like that. Wrong. Have you asked Him? Have you waited on Him? Have you trusted Him? Have you listened? Have you practiced listening? Oh, you have to practice? You better believe it, you have to practice. Each time we go to Africa, it takes me about 2 days. Now, Nigeria, they speak English. But they don't speak it like I do in South Georgia. What'd you say, Donnie? Thank you, thank you. That's why we're here. I'll turn around and you can get the other side. I'll be well done. Even in Nigeria, they make fun of my accent. But it takes me 2 days before I can retrain my ear to hear. I have to stay at it. Clement, Kendi's uncle, called me the other night, Friday night, from Nigeria. The first several sentences, I don't know what he's saying. And I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to catch up and catch up and catch up. But it takes me less time to catch up now because I've been practicing at it to hear His voice. You've got to do the same thing with God. If you're going to hear His voice, you've got to engage with Him. First of all, you've got to believe that He's going to speak to you. And Elisha believed that in this story. And a lot of people were depending. Do you see how many people were depending upon Elisha getting it right? Number four. There is a spiritual cost to your actions. Was there a spiritual cost? What if Elisha had not been obedient? Slaughter for the Israeli army. Because of his obedience, lives were saved. Now listen to me closely. I don't know where you are spiritually, but let me tell you, if you have Jesus in your life, there are people in your life that are counting on you getting it right. They're counting on you hearing the voice of God. They're counting. There's none of this, well, I'm just going to disengage from the process. There's nothing more ridiculous than seeing a huge bird, i.e. ostrich, with his head stuck in the sand, thinking that he's hiding from somebody. But that's what we look like as believers when we stick our head in the sand and say, I'm just going to disengage with things. It's all about me. I'm going to come and worship at the shrine of the Holy Trinity. You know who they are? Me, say it. Yes, sir. That's where I worship. Let me tell you, people are watching you. There's a cost to your actions. You don't get to choose that. God's already chosen that when He chose you. You're part of the plan. You're part of what He's doing in the earth. And we've got to be faithful. Faithful to what He says we're supposed to do. Now, in my home right now, I have a little fellow that's about that tall. And he's the best parrot that's right. He's saying everything. And what I found out, I was having a not so pretty discussion on the telephone with someone else in the other room Then realize that a child's ears are like dog ears. They can hear three rooms away in detail. And so I used a word. It wasn't a curse word, but it was not a word that my grandson should be saying. And guess what? I walk out of the room and he's just jabbering exactly what I just got through saying. Are people listening? Now, paw the ground and say, well, no one ever listens to me. Hogwash. Yes, they do.
It's good. So good.
That's for me and Finley to know. I'm jerking you around, Jim, and I'm enjoying it. Hold your breath. There's a spiritual cost to your actions. Number five, what Elisha realized in the middle of this, that he was God's person. In fact, they call that in the text, it calls him what? What does it call him in the text? We read it. You heard him say it several times. Elisha is the prophet, but what? More than that, come on. Somebody said it. The man of God. I've got a message from Dr. O'Carey that I keep on my phone and I listen to it occasionally, where in his intro is, "Greetings to you, man of God." I like to listen to that. I play it over and over, saying, "Greetings to you, man of God." Every place I went, when I went in and took to Nigeria, that's how they introduced me. Here's the man of God. Let me tell you, there's a good part of that, and then there's a challenging part of that. Because then you stand up before a crowded room where you couldn't put another body in it, as they're hanging out the windows and all, and they're all looking at you. And what they're expecting is to hear a word from God. But you know what? That's no different than where we live every day. We are spiritual people who are part of the army of God. God has deployed us into the world. Now we gather together to encourage one another, pray for one another. In just a minute, what are we going to do? We're going to scatter. I'm going to send you out. In that case, we are very apostolic because we do believe in sending out into the world. So, what is God expecting from us as spiritual people? He expects from us no different than he expected from Elisha. We've got to be in the Word. You can't neglect this book. And if you read it digitally, or if you have a paper copy, or you have someone to read it to you, you've got to be in the Word. We must communicate with him in prayer so we can listen to his voice. And prayer is a two-way street. It isn't just us speaking, it's also us listening so we can hear. You cannot deny when God puts on your heart. You get up in the morning and he prompts you about somebody. You pray for them. He's counting on us listening to him. Also, as a part of us being these spiritual people just like Elisha, we've got to submit that we're a part of the army. You're not lone rangers. You're not alone. When you signed on with Jesus, you signed on to an army. His army in the earth. His body. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus. We're the touch of Jesus. Let me tell you go some places that I'll never get an invitation to.
Because as soon as I walk in,
it's just like that first time that I went to Africa. Clement Amai told me, he said, "Now, Dusty, I want to prepare you. We're about to go into a village." Said there will be young teenagers there that have never seen someone with white skin. I'm thinking, yeah, how can that be? Well, it be. As soon as we rode in, I've got my arm hanging out the back window. He wouldn't let me ride up front. He always had to ride in the back. Riding in the, like you're some kind of dignitary or something. Riding in the back, and all of a sudden, the village just stopped. And they're pointing. There are places you can go that I can't go because I'll be too much of a distraction. But you get to go there. Who are you carrying there with you? Are you part of His army, a part of His, are you His hands and His feet? He's counting on you as you go to use all of your talents and all of the spiritual gifts. And by the way, the Bible says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, that when you came to Christ, you have at least one spiritual gift. At least one. And He will give you more if you ask. Are you using them? First of all, do you even know what they are? If you're interested in taking a spiritual gift inventory, we've got one on our website you can take. And begin that process of saying, "Lord, I'm going to sharpen my life so that I can be the spiritual person just like Elisha was." Are you resources? Your money? Your job? Have you put that in God's hand? Did God give you a job so you can make money and consume it on yourself? His giving you the job and the resources you have in your life is His funding of your ministry. Because let me tell you, when you get through this time, that job and that money is going to be of no importance. I have never seen a trailer hitch on a hearse. You can't take it with you. So what are you going to do with it? You just got it. That's good, Charles. I'm glad you're catching up there. Hey, it was like that lady. I mean, you're standing there at the death of her husband, and somebody said, "Well, how much did he leave?" And she said, "All of it." Two. I wish I had a third one to complete the trifecta, but I don't. Give me a minute. All of it. So what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with your life? Are you investing in something the last? Elisha was hearing God's voice, and he affected a nation. What if you just heard God's voice for your family, for your office, for your neighborhood? You say, "Well, I don't know how to do that." God will show you if you ask Him and you listen. Listen to His voice. What is He saying to you today? Let's pray. Going to open the altar. You can come on now if you want to. Altar's open. Brother Rick, Brother Dane and I will be down here to pray with you if you want to come and pray. Something you want us to to seek the Lord about with you. But let Him speak. Let Him speak in your life today. The battle is raging. Whose voice are you going to listen to? He has a way to get you through the battle. 23rd Psalm says this, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." He gets us through. How about it? What's He speaking to you today? The Lord, right now, I'm praying with my brothers and sisters. Some of us are praying about family situations. We're praying about relationship problems. We're praying, Lord, about stuff that's going on in our homes, with our finances, with our children, with our spouse, with our job. And Lord, we need to hear from You. Lord, we're praying for our nation. Lord, our nation needs to turn back to You. We're asking You, come speak to our Congress, speak to our president, speak to our leaders, our local and state leaders. Lord, we're praying for them today. Come, Lord, come. Let us hear from You today. Lord, right now, Lord, as we press in, let us hear the still, small voice of God speaking to us. Lord, if there's anyone here who's never claimed Jesus as Savior, may this be the day. May this be the day when they turn from their sin and turn to You, Jesus. Thank You. In the quietness of this moment, as we're here in this comfortable place, the altar is open. We invite you. Come. Come and receive from the Lord. You may want to go get someone else to come and pray with you, but the altar's open. He'll hear your prayer where you sit, or He'll hear your prayer here. We're willing to pray with you, but the altar's open. Come. How many of you need to hear from the Lord on something? Finances, family, relationship, job, how to vote. how many of you need to hear from the Lord? Well, that's about half of us, okay? I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm going to pray right now, and almost forgot. We need to receive our cards and our gifts. If you have that, bring those cards at this time. There's a basket in the back, basket up front, and then I'll pray for us and send us out. By the way, in case some of you are interested, Gary is playing at Tijuana Flats on Friday nights out there, and so far there's no chicken wire. But go by and request Freebird. He'll love you for that. All right, you ready for me to pray for you? Ready to receive from the Lord? Lord, I'm asking You right now, for those of us that raised our hand, we said we need to hear from You. I'm asking You, God, that You will unveil our eyes. Lord, in many cases, the answer is already there. We just had our eyes shut. God, I'm praying that You'll come, that You'll come with Your answer, that You will speak. Lord, just as surely as You were given the enemy's plans to Elisha, Lord, that You'll show us the enemy's plans against us and for our families so that he will not gain access to us. Do you agree with that prayer? Lord, I'm asking You to do that in us now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Send you out in the name of Jesus. Salt and light.
Lord, I